Good morning, everyone. If you could please turn our Bibles to chapter 5. Sorry, I was a little late coming down. I was trying to print out my notes, but our system seems to not like Macs. But it's Luke chapter 5. And we'll be reading from verse 1 to 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little away from land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Amen. So, I had been preparing my message for this Sunday, and it's Poverty Sunday this coming Sunday, and I didn't mean for this to happen, but like last time when I had prepared to preach, for some reason God gave me this message. At first I had no idea what it meant. I was reading it, and I felt like God was saying, "This is it." And I was like, "What? It has nothing to do with Sunday?" Or I don't know what the case may be. But in light of what I feel like God's going to do, you know, I feel like God's going to bring a message about blessed to be a blessing. And that, you know, God seeks to bless us. And about a message of obedience. And when I was reading through this passage, I felt like God's starting to kind of show me what this passage means and how it connects. And so I don't mean to do this, but this is actually now a precursor to my Sunday message. And I know this happened last time too, when I preached on Deuteronomy 8. But let's get into the word a little bit. And before I kind of teach, I just kind of want to paint the picture of what's happening. And so Jesus is standing by the lake of Gennesaret. But Gennesaret is really just a city by the Sea of Galilee. And so when you take a look at the map, you'll see the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And on the north, there's like this river that comes down, and Gennesaret is right by this river. And so Jesus is standing right by the Sea of Galilee. This is where we are. And so you don't have to worry about, you know, where's this place. And what's happening to Jesus is he's standing there by the Sea of Galilee, and people are starting to be drawn to him. Like there's crowds just being drawn to him, okay? And so what he's doing is getting pushed against the shore, and he's walking by, and what he notices is he sees these two boats. And so from the text, it feels like, well, Peter tells us that we've worked hard all night, so we know it's either very late in the evening or night or very early in the morning after they've fished. And so he sees one of these boats, and they see, you know, it's probably Simon and the fishermen over there. They're washing their nets, and I can imagine they're, you know, these big, burly rope fiber nets, right? Like, not like today, the big wire, you know, plastic nets, you know, probably pulling seaweed out of them. Or actually the thing I imagine is like Forrest Gump, you know, they open the nets as like this toilet seat falls down. And Jesus is seeing this, and he sees one of these boats, and it belongs to Simon Peter. And Simon actually has already had an experience with Jesus, so they know each other. And so Jesus says, you know, he gets into the boat, and he tells Simon, "Simon, get into this boat with me. And I want you to go out into the water, okay? Just a little bit into the water, okay?" And so Simon goes into the water with him. And so Jesus, while he's sitting in this boat, starts preaching to the crowds, right? So imagine now, like the shore's over there, and I imagine being Peter, and Jesus standing in my boat, or rather, he says he sits down, and he starts preaching, and the crowd is over there. And after he finishes preaching, he turns to me and he says, "Peter, put your nets down for a catch." Now, when I was reading this, you know, Peter is somebody who I love as well, because I think I relate to him very well in terms of his personality. His kind of brashness at times. But I'm trying to imagine, you know, the funny thing is how Peter responds to Jesus when Jesus tells him, "Hey, put your nets down into the boat." Being Peter, okay, I've already worked the entire night, and now somebody's telling me, okay, I've already packed my stuff away, I put my boat onto the shore, I've washed my net already, and now Jesus is telling me to bring my net back into the boat. Okay, to go back into this boat, he's going to start preaching. And then after he starts preaching, now he's telling me, put it back down, okay, after everything's done. And to be honest, even though it's Jesus, in my mind, I would probably be saying this, because I compare it to my life too, and this is what I've done, is, "Jesus, I'm a fisherman. You know, you may be a really good teacher. You may be a really good healer," because, you know, this isn't the first time that Peter has seen Jesus do a miracle. The chapter before, he heals his mother-in-law. But he goes, "Jesus, I know what I'm doing. I'm a fisherman, okay? And I've worked all night already, okay? And now you're telling me to put these nets back into the boat, or back into the water." And the funny thing is how Peter says it, you know? He's like, in verse 5, he says, "Master, we worked all night already and caught nothing, but I will do as you say." So basically saying, "Look, Jesus, I've worked as hard as I can, and I've done everything that I could, and so don't you think that I would have caught some fish by now, if there are fish?" But the thing is, Peter really didn't get it. Okay, and at the point, to be honest, when I was reading it, I didn't really get it either. Because I would have think that to Peter, after seeing Jesus preach, heal all the multitudes — this isn't the first time the crowds have gathered to Peter, right? After seeing him heal the multitudes and preach and heal my mother-in-law, I would think that there's something that Jesus is doing here that I just don't get. And the reason why we know this is because the word in verse 5, the word "worked" in Hebrew — I'm going to do my best because it's a really long word. It's like an 18-letter word, but it's parakatatheke, okay? So again, the Greek word is parakatatheke. And what the word means is, when he says, "Lord, we've worked all night," okay? Parakatatheke means to put down, okay? So in Peter, well, the reason why he's using this word is because what he's saying is, "I've put down the nets already all night." So parakatatheke. But the context of this word and the meaning behind it actually is the word "trust." And so when Peter is saying, "I've put down this net," what he's saying is, "Look, Jesus, I put down this net. I've worked all night trusting that something was going to happen already. I've put down my nets down into the water trusting that I was going to catch a fish. I've done all of this trusting, putting my trust in your promises that something was going to happen, and now you're telling me to do it again." And I feel like at this point, Peter's already done everything he can. And so probably he's feeling a little tired, frustrated, right? He's done it with trust. He's done it with faith. There's no fruit that's come of it. Nothing has happened. And now Jesus is telling him, "Do it again." But the thing is, you know, this is Peter. He says, "You know, okay, fine. But because you tell me and I love you, Lord, I'll do it." And what happens? Bam! He gets this load of fish that he himself can't even gather onto the boat. And that he has to get his friends to come and help him. And this amazing miracle happens. Now, this kind of brings me to a point here, right? When we look at what's happening in this, is, you know, I was talking to a friend recently, and, you know, he's kind of going through times quite difficult where he feels like, you know, he felt like there's been a promise of God, right? And he's been working very diligently. I know this guy. And he feels like nothing's happening. You know, like, there's ups and downs. There's times when he feels like he's almost able to get this deal, and then he isn't. You know, God tells him, you know, this year is going to be okay financially for you and all these things. But then at the end of the year, these things just happen, and they just kind of fall through. And so he's having this really hard time. And so when I look at that, I kind of want to say, man, like, did you hear right? No, that's not true. Okay, he heard from the Lord. But the thing that when I see from this verse is, the first point I kind of want to make is don't give up. Don't give up. Peter, being a fisherman, knew everything he had to do. Okay, and I'm sure he did everything right. And when he said, parakata theke, I did everything with all my trust, knowing the promise of God. But even with that promise of God, I put down my nets and I drew nothing. Could you imagine if when Jesus tells him, hey, go put down your nets again, and he says, no, forget it. I give up. I'm not gonna put down these nets. Okay, I've already worked all night. I've already done everything I can. Okay, and the promise didn't come through, Lord. Could you imagine? He would have won, would have missed this whole miracle of providence, where his boat fills up with fish. But secondly, he would have missed his calling to follow the Lord. And I'll touch on this a little bit later too. But this is such a good reminder for us not to give up, is when God gives us a promise, even when to us, we've done everything that we can, we've put all our trust into what God's told us to do, and even into, you know, making our best effort to fulfill that promise, even to the last point, even when we feel like giving up, even when we feel like we've done everything we can, don't give up. God is faithful to his promises, yeah? But this also brings me to something else that's really interesting, is you notice when Peter asks, or when Jesus asked Peter to walk out into the boat, okay, right? Notice Jesus didn't tell Peter to go into the boat himself, right, as he's preaching. Jesus, did he really need to get into the boat to teach? I don't really think so, right? I think he could have just taught on shore and just, hey, give me some space and teach. But no, he asks Peter, hey, get into this boat with me. I'm going to get into this boat with me and go out into shore. Now, I think even before Jesus got into the boat, he was going to create this miracle for Peter. But the interesting thing is, I notice is, when Jesus is asking Peter to do this, even though Peter had no idea what was going to happen, and Jesus did, I think Jesus was trying to teach us, Peter, something. Despite the fact that he could have been on shore yelling to Peter, okay, now I want you to go further. Now I want you to go further, you know? You're not quite far enough yet. Okay, stop right there. Okay, put your net down right there. Okay, he didn't do that. I really believe that anytime God gives us a promise and calls us to do anything, Jesus inviting Peter onto the boat, Jesus will get into the boat with us. Whatever he's called us to do, if he's given us a promise to do something, and if he's given us a calling for something, or he's given you a promise and it seems ridiculously hard, you know, God, I see this promise, okay, how do I do it? You know, it just seems so far beyond me. I don't know how I was going to accomplish this. Jesus always get into the boat with us. He doesn't give us a promise just to leave us, to tell us, okay, you're going to catch a whole load of fish today. Just go. Okay, go into the boat. I'm going to be over here preaching to these people, okay? But you go, because it's going to happen. No, he doesn't do that. He gets into the boat himself first, and he says, Peter, join me. And then he asks Peter, join me in my work. And then he blesses him, and the promise of God comes through. And so that's my second point that I kind of want to bring out. But kind of let me go on to a tangent here a little bit, is the idea of relationship. You know, something that I think when I was a younger Christian, I think all of us, we desire to see God do something amazing in our lives, right? Like when God promises us or something, or even let's not talk about promise, let's talk about ministry. You know, we love praying for people, not because, you know, we want something out of it per se, but one, we want to bless people, I know that. Two, we love people, and three, because we want to experience God too. And I remember when I used to, you know, see people prophesy and all these sort of things, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do, you know, or there's this huge work of God and people are part of it, you know, that's what I want to do. And, you know, something that I didn't really get before was I would always ask the Lord to work. But it would never be out of a relationship. It was just simply because I wanted to see God work. And from this parable, I think it's really clear, right? Not only does Jesus ask Peter to get into the boat with him, right? He's Jesus saying, I'm going to be with you when I perform the miracle, when I fulfill my promises, but I work out of relationship. That's why he asks Peter to get into the boat. And so if you, I don't know, like maybe you're looking for, you know, God to work in your life, maybe, you know, you'd like to see God work more around you, you know, when you would pray for people, maybe to receive prophetic word or words of knowledge or wisdom. You know, this kind of shows us, right? We really need a relationship with Jesus. That is the only way that we can see that sort of work around us. And this kind of brings me to another point, too. Not only do we receive when we're in relationship with the Lord, we need to obey, right? When God tells us something, if we don't do it, well, one, it's sin, right? And in his grace, a lot of times I think God doesn't speak to us, not because he doesn't want to, but maybe the times he's spoken to us and we don't obey, well, one, I don't think God wants to cause us to sin. And so I think what happens is he just stops speaking out of his grace for us. And two, if we don't obey, why should he bother speaking to us at all? It's like him giving us a gift of, you know, it's like me, you know, great, Lord, I have a gift of healing and I don't heal, or if I don't pray for people, what's the point of giving me any sort of gift? What's the point in giving me any sort of promise? If every time God speaks to me, I'm just like, oh, great, praise the Lord. And then I just kind of fold my arms and I say, okay, well that's it. I don't know if that was really God, and I don't know if I should do it and whatnot. So it really speaks to, one, needing a relationship with Jesus. And then even when we do and we hear, we need to obey. And it's not tomorrow, right? It's not the next week. It's today. When God speaks and there's that inkling in the heart, it's today. If God tells you go now, go now. If he says sell today, sell today. Don't wait. Because one, we don't know if we're going to miss a blessing. Or two, or if anyone else is going to miss a blessing. And again, I'm going to go back to this a little bit later. The third thing I kind of want to talk about from this passage is this, right? The idea of not giving up is, The idea of not giving up, and I know I talked about, you know, we don't want to miss a blessing. The other part, I feel like, the important part not to give up is this, right? I think when we pray for something and it doesn't happen right away, in our human nature and our short-sightedness, what we're looking at is God not answering our prayer, and that's all we see. And so we say, oh, God, will you give me this job? Or God, will you provide me with this? God, will you do this for me? Or whatnot. And if it doesn't happen, a lot of times I think in our humanness, I mean, I do this too, our first response is, oh, God, you didn't come through. You know, and we get discouraged. And sometimes we, you know, if we're a little more immature, we kind of say, God, I'm going to take a break from you now. You didn't answer me. I'm going to take a 3-month sabbatical. I'm not going to come to church. You know, I don't hear you. You don't speak to me. So I think something that's really important for us to remember is, even if something is not happening, even if God's giving you a promise, and in this situation, in this event, God's not moving, I want you guys to remember there's a bigger picture of what's happening. This one incident of answered prayer or not answered prayer is only a line of everything God's doing to bring us to what God wants to do, right? And if we look at Peter's life, again, we were talking about this, right? This is not the first time Peter has met Jesus or seen him do a miracle. Chapter 4, you know, he comes, his mother-in-law was deathly sick with a fever. Jesus comes in and heals her. He's preaching to the multitudes. He's healing the sick. They're all coming to him. And so this is not the first time. But the funny thing is, all the way up until now, Peter knew Jesus is Lord. But for some reason, in this instance, because of a failed event, Jesus tells him, do this, and yet he's still like, Lord, I know, I'm a fisherman, but okay, like, I mean, I've already done everything, I don't think it's going to make a difference, but okay, I'll do it, right? It's hard for us to look forward, obviously, because we're not God. We can't see all the way to whatever God's calling us to. But we can always look back. And whenever I look back in my life, even the times when God didn't answer and fulfill the promises that he did, that he told me, in the times that he said he was going to do it, looking back now, I recognize in his sovereignty, every answered prayer and unanswered prayer was God's work and moving me towards whatever it is, the greater picture is, right? Romans 8:28. And we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And it doesn't say just things that are good, but God also uses the things that are bad or the unanswered promises at that time to bring us to these places. And I mean, the easiest example is for me, right? Like, I know I talk about this a lot, but praying for, you know, victory in my work, praying for victory in my job, being able to, you know, build this business into a huge, all these sort of things. God, why don't you do it? But if he had done that, I wouldn't be here. And if I was to recognize the giftings and all the things that God is doing, if I was just to take that one prayer request and say, oh, because of this, forget it, Lord, you're not good, I would miss out on everything afterwards. And this brings me to my fourth point, right? Our blessing from God really can become some of the greatest blessings to others. And let me go back to the text for a little bit here, right? Jesus could have done this for Peter anytime. Peter is a fisherman, okay? He probably fishes every day or maybe every other day, I don't know, right? But he could have went to visit Peter one day. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to go fishing with you. And today we're going to catch a ton of fish, right? And he could have shown that to Peter, you know, any other time. But Jesus chooses to wait until there's huge crowds. And then what happens? He gets into the boat with Peter. He remains in relationship with Peter. He invites Peter to his work, right? So Peter didn't have to do anything. He just sat there in the boat when Jesus preached. So, well, he wasn't doing anything, but, you know, Jesus invited him in. And then he says, go, put down your nets. He gets blessed. But guess who else gets blessed? The thousands of people that are watching Jesus doing this, right? Remember, he's sitting in the boat and he's preaching to the multitudes and they're all watching what's happening on this one little boat. The thousands of people just see this, bam, loads of fish. So that's why it's so important, right, for us, one, not to give up. Two, when God says to do something and he says he's going to promise us something, be obedient. Follow through. Believe. You know, the Bible tells us, right? My sheep know my voice. You know, I think another tangent too. I think this is one of the greatest lies the enemy is trying to tell us in the church today is that God doesn't speak to us. The Lord speaks to us today. He's alive. The Bible tells us this. And one of the things that we do, I think, a lot as Christians is we say, oh, God doesn't speak to me. You know, oh, I'm not holy enough. You know, I don't really know. That's not, you know, there's a truth in that, you know, as we mature more and as we grow in Christ more and as our relationship deepens more, yes, we do learn to recognize the Lord's voice. But he speaks to you today. Whether you are a new Christian or a mature Christian, he speaks to you today. There may be true that if you're a young Christian, it may take some tuning, right? Like, okay, I'm not sure if God is saying this to me, but the point of obedience is do it. Just try, right? Because the first time, you know, the first time I hear from God, I was totally off. I remember praying for this guy, and he said, can you pray for me? I was like, sure, and this was back when I was in the vine. And all of a sudden, I'm just praying, and I just see this picture of, like, this airplane. It's like this dark road, and it's like landing, and I was so profound. I was like, I've never gotten a vision. So I said, Lord, I have no idea if this is it. And I could have been like, I have no idea what to say. And I just pray some generic prayer. It's like, I feel like God says he loves you. Right? But I was just like, okay, Lord, if this is you, I'm just going to try. And I prayed for him. And I said, you know, I see this picture of an airplane. And it's just getting ready to land. And it's really dark. And there's this runway and lights on the other side. And it's going down. And then at the end of this prayer, I was like, does this mean anything to you? And he says, no. But then he tells me, oh, but I'm a pilot. I was like, oh, okay. And so for me, I learned two things from that lesson, right? One, God affirmed me. Like, I don't think it was coincidence that he was a pilot and I got this picture of a plane. But two, despite my word not meaning anything to him, it was God's way of tuning my own heart and my own ears to what God is doing. You know what I'm saying? And so even though when we get things wrong sometimes, there's a necessity to try to obey the voice of the Lord, even when you're not sure, because this is kind of the way, I mean, we all have our values of the way we live, but one of the things that I've always done is I would rather err on the side of following the Lord and getting it wrong than to not do it at all. That means I would much rather, if God tells me something, I would much rather, you know, do something and it being a complete mistake and being able to say, God, you know, I made this mistake, but you know what? It's one step closer to you. At least I've tried, at least I've seen if this was you, than to never do it. And I mean, this is just something for me, but it's worked out. And so I hope that this blesses you. But anyway, so back to that idea, right, is we are blessed to be a blessing. When God pulled, helped, you know, when the fish came out, Peter was blessed, but then the multitudes were blessed. That is the idea behind blessing. It's not just so that we can be blessed, but then others can be blessed through us too. Not saying God doesn't want to bless you, but that is the idea behind blessing, at least in this case too. Now, it brings me to kind of a last point here, too, is, okay, so we know Peter did it, he obeyed, and all these sort of things. But the idea that sanctification is a process. Now, this isn't so much from this verse, but from kind of the life of Peter. So, again, we kind of talked about this, right? Peter has seen Jesus heal before, and he's seen Jesus do a miracle now, and he's been with him in the upper room, you know, Jesus washed his feet and all these sort of things. And yet, Peter fails Jesus three times, right? The rooster clucks or crows or whatever you want to call it, three times. And I think sometimes as Christians, right, I think we beat ourselves up a little bit too much, right? And you could say this as an enemy thing as well or whatever the case may be. And I mean, it's good to feel like, you know, when we've kind of made a mistake to repent. But one of the greatest apostles in the Bible fails Jesus, denies him. And yet the Lord redeems him to speak to the multitudes and some of the greatest churches in history comes out of Peter. How much more can he redeem us and to take whatever we've done and whatever we've done? And I think we do this a lot, right? Is the enemy wants us to remember, this is who we were before. This is who you were before. Remember what you used to do. You're not going to account to anything. But that's the enemy. The Lord says, no, yeah, that might be who you are before, but I will continue to grow you and to take you and to use you. And so sanctification is a process. It's not a one-time thing. It's not we believe in God and we're able to do everything. So if you feel like you failed, right, it's okay. P. Sam always says, right, get over it. Just repent. You know, don't worry. You know, do better next time. But I believe it's true, right? Repent. That's it. Just simply repent. Go to the Lord, say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up this time, but keep moving forward. I think that's something that I think we don't speak of enough, you know, encouraging each other just to keep moving forward despite failure, despite, you know, promises that haven't happened, all these sort of things. Just keep going because the moment we stop, the enemy has already won. So let's close our eyes. There isn't necessarily anything that I sense, you know, like I said, for me, I really believe that I really wanted to teach on this kind of as a precursor to Sunday. But let's respond with the Holy Spirit. Let's really ask God. Maybe there was one of those 5 points that kind of hit home to you today. Lord, have I given up? Lord, is there a promise that you've given to me, you know? I think one of the hardest things is, you know, the words, you know, you're going to have a husband or a wife, the spouse. Lord, have I given up? Have I stopped trusting you? Have I stopped praying for the things you've asked me to? Or maybe you need to go back and to be with Jesus. Maybe you need to go back in his promises and just recognize there are promises, Lord. But I need you. to help me in these promises. So let's just pray, and Sarah leads us in a song. Let's just respond to the Holy Spirit, whatever He's saying. Let's really worship Him. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your promises, God. We thank you, Lord, that that God, you come through, Lord, that you're faithful. Like Peter, God, all we need to do, Lord, is trust in you. Lord, God, if there's any of my friends, God, that feel like they're at a point, Lord, where they just want to give up, Lord, will your Spirit just really touch them, God? Lord, will you refresh them? God, will you help them, God, to continue to move forward, Lord, and to await your promises, God? God, we need you, Lord. We recognize, God, there's nothing we can do without you. And so, Father, we receive, God. We desire your blessings, God. Not just so that we can be blessed. Lord, the blessing, I want that too, Lord. We want that. But then we also recognize, Lord, like Peter, God, when he got the loads of fish, Lord, with everyone watching, God, we recognize that when we are blessed, Lord, the people around us, Lord, will also be blessed, God, if we are obedient to your word, God. So, Father, will you come, God? Lord, will you help us, God, remain steadfast in you, to continue to seek after you, Lord, to seek after your face, God, and your word, and to love you, God, and to walk with you, Lord, from now, God, until the end of our lives, God. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's really take a minute to pray, yeah? Like, I mean, you may not have heard what God is saying about, you know, your life for the rest of this life. Maybe that's what you're looking for. You know, Lord, what's my purpose? All these sort of things. But really, let's take a minute to thank him. Let's really thank him for the promises. Let's thank him that there are promises. Let's thank him that he's faithful to the promises. Let's thank him. Yeah, let's just take a minute to do that. Pray for those who are going through a difficult time, especially with cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy, or going through surgery. Let's really pray that God will come with a mighty hand of healing. Let's claim Isaiah 53 over them, by his stripes that we are healed, that they are healed. And let's really pray with faithfulness and thankfulness. That's part of God's promise that he's going to come, yeah? So let's really pray. Let's really intercede for them. Also pray for those who need healing, but need salvation. Let's really pray that God opens eyes and hearts and ears, that you know, even though they're going through a difficult time, that they'll see the Lord and they'll know that he is good, and they'll receive him as their Lord and Savior. And let's also pray for the Lord's power to rest on them as well, that healing will also come, that it'll be a great testimony to the faithfulness and the kindness of God. Let's really pray. pray for those in our community who need healing, and a word of healing, but not necessarily for cancer. Let's really pray for God's healing over them as well. Let's pray for peace in their families. It must be very difficult for the families as they go through. Let's pray for wisdom as well and understanding. We may not always know what's going on, but let's really pray that Jesus just comes and guards their hearts and brings that sort of peace and that wisdom and that understanding. Pray for those in our community who are looking for work. Let's pray that God really puts favor over their lives, anointing over their lives, that even as people see their resumes or as they go into interviews, there's something about them that they want on their team or they want in the company. Let's really pray that God prepares their hearts as well, you know, that God provides for them, but also prepares them to their place in their field of ministry. So let's really pray that God really helps and just in preparation and also providence in this time. Pray for our community. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Let's really pray for Occupy Central. Let's pray for the government, the situation going on right now. Let's really pray for God to bring His glory. We don't know what's right, right? Whether it's democracy or whatnot. But let's really pray that whatever the Lord wills is going to happen, that God's going to bring His kingdom down into Hong Kong. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in Hong Kong. Let's pray that we can be a light to China. Let's pray for the local churches, YWAM, Shanti, Master's Beauty, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, CSW, the Korean Church. Let's really pray that all of us as we serve can really be a light to this place. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Pray for our missions committee. Let's really pray for covering over our families. If you could please pray just for wisdom so that we'll know how to allocate funds, you know, who to partner with, that God gives us wisdom in knowing, you know, whether we should really join a project or not. Really pray for us that we can really extend the love of God and the works of His hand through missions and knowing which ones to partake in. So if you could really pray for their families, cover them and their work and their relationships, and really pray against any backlash from the enemy as they serve in this way, as they go into, you know, enemy territory, you know. Let's really pray that, yeah, covering over them as well. So let's really pray. Pray for our local outreach. Let's pray for our community center, Agape. Let's pray for Fabi as well, even though they're not on the slide. Let's really pray for them. Pray for Homie and SP Lights. Let's pray for those who serve in local ministry, the leaders, especially for Jay and Janella and Tim. So we pray that God really speaks to them so they know the direction and how to lead us as a church to serve the poor and to alleviate poverty. Let's pray for our Mother's Choice, for freedom, and for Bridge. So let's really pray. Pray for tonight's activities. Let's pray for IP. Let's pray God really speaks to them and they can also be refreshed in this time as they cover our church. But let's really pray for them as well as they serve the church in this way. Let's pray for SPU, Pastor Hyunsu, and the kids, that they'll really meet God and experience God, especially in a time where it's, you know, they're learning about themselves. Let's really pray that God galvanizes their faith through this. And pray for a GIC class tonight. So please pray for me as I'll be teaching it, that I'll have energy and the Spirit will come and we'll really be able to meet with God. For McCain House Church tonight in Discovery Bay as well. It's really praying God will meet them and do a mighty work amidst them, and that they'll experience His love, and that, you know, they will build in their community and love for each other. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. We thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We thank you for the example, Lord, you gave us with Peter. And that, God, not only do you promise us, God, but you come through. And, Lord, it's such an amazing thing, God, that, you know, not only was your word telling us, God, that we're blessed to be blessings, but then what you told Peter afterwards. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." And so, God, I thank you, Lord. I just want to lift up my brothers and sisters to you, God, wherever they are, or whatever the situation is, God. Lord, will you reveal, God, to them and to me too, God, that no matter what we do, God, whether it's blessing or work, God, that we are all fishers of men. That God, in our blessing, God, we are fishers of men. In our work, Lord, we are fishers of men. Lord, help us, God, to be obedient to you. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, God. And Lord, be gracious and merciful with us, God, when we miss something, Lord, or when we disobey. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, will you watch over my friends, God? Will you bless them, Lord? Bless their socks off as they go into the workplaces, as they go meet people, Lord, and go into the world. Father, Lord, I pray against backlash over them, Lord. I pray for their families. I pray, God, for the relationships, God. Will you prosper them, God? And will you make them, God, into fishers of men? So, God, we love you. Holy Spirit, we invite you, God, into all that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry it was a little long today, but I hope you have a good time of prayer. We'll see you back tomorrow.